Good morning. Certainly join in the welcoming of our visitors. We do have several. We have several that have moved into the area. We're so grateful that you are here and visiting with us. And if there's anything that we can do for any of our visitors, please let us know that. Anything we can help you understand or anything we might be able to provide for you, be happy to do that. So glad to have you here. I walked in Walmart the other day and saw a large yellow cardboard tower as I walked into the store. And so as I got closer, I understood what that was. It had multiple slots on all four sides of this tower, and it was filled with sheets of paper, everyone being different than the one in the slot next to it. And I was highly surprised as to how many they were. They were school supplies list. Don't know if you've seen those. That was much easier to write when I went to school, at least when I was in elementary school. Everything that we needed for elementary school could pretty much be put in your pocket. Or at the very most, one of those small plastic little zippered bags. We felt very special when we had one of those and you could slip your things in there. One of the sheets I was looking at in Walmart, it indicated how many pencil cap erasers they needed, how many gray beveled erasers they needed, and how many gray or pink beveled erasers they needed, how many sets of markers, how many pencils. It was quite a list, and that plastic bag needs to be at least 13 and a half inches long in order that it can hold a ruler amongst the other things, and just an entire list of that. And I got to thinking that if you did a little research, you could probably find out that back to school rivals probably now in second place only behind the Christmas season for merchants. That's who's happiest about the fact that kids are back in school. I know parents get happy, you know, end of summer, you're thinking, I finally get some of that free time back, finally get a chance to get some things done that I haven't been able to do, get the kids out from under my hair. Kids, not very often are they at the top of the list of happiest that school is back, though some are happy to start school again. But merchants have to be thrilled, because I can assure you everything that was on every one of those lists was probably available in that Walmart, along with multiple other stores that are selling hordes of school supplies. And if you're not a store that sells the supplies, you are certainly one of the stores that is hoping that children are convinced they cannot go back to school unless they have this year's styles. You couldn't possibly expect a child to go back to school in last year's clothing or last year's style. So all the clothing stores are very much up on that as well, and providing that. We want to talk a little bit about that idea this morning, because as was mentioned, and I'll make a specific plea for your presence at that session this afternoon at the end of the lesson, but we're at a point where we're thinking about all of those kids that are back in school, and what is what's important. I understand that teachers need students to have certain supplies, and parents need to provide those supplies for the children to be able to function the way that they need to in school and be able to do the things that they're going to be asked to. One of the lists in particular had a whole list of things, and then it said, this is only a basic list. Your teacher will allow or will let you know the additional items you need to have for your class, and that depended on the grade, because some obviously have to bring graphing calculators and things of that nature. It's considerably different than the slide rules that we used in the 70s when calculators were barely invented and certainly were not allowed to be used in school. So parents have a huge amount of supplies. What I want to talk a little bit about this morning, though, is what about spiritually supplied? As we think about all our kids going back to school, how spiritually prepared are they? How spiritually prepared are we? What are we seeking to do as a school year begins as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles? What are the things that are on our minds, and what are the things that we want to make sure that our children understand? I want you to read with me, if you would, in Psalm 127. passage that's familiar to us. As a matter of fact, I would tell you not only this passage, but the passage we'll use as our text is very familiar to us. This is, as we have indicated before, something that falls in the line of what Peter said when he talked about putting us in remembrance. Not new things, but they're important things. They're things that we need to think about. All of a sudden, your children are, if you have school-age children, and if not, your grandchildren or your nieces and nephews are going to be out of the realm of the influence of their parents, or you if you are their parents, for the bulk of the day, for the bulk of the week. That's just the nature of school. It takes up a lot of hours. And so when we feel that they are at home, we feel that special way that we can watch out for everything. But we know if we have kids in public school that you cannot watch out for everything. So they're gone. So what do we do in regards to those things? In Psalm 127, the psalmist writes, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies at the gate." I love that imagery there. A couple of things that he says that I just think are so special as far as the image that they conjure up. When first he says, children are a heritage. They're an inheritance to you. I mean, I don't know if you stand to gain any large inheritance when somebody leaves this life. Probably most of us don't stand in a position to gain a large inheritance. But that would excite us, wouldn't it? You know, if you got that letter that says your rich uncle that you didn't know about, who just passed away in such and such place, has left you these millions of dollars, can't you just imagine the excitement over an inheritance? And we think that way not only physically, but we think that way spiritually, because we know that heaven is an inheritance for us. That's laid. It's a treasure, and don't we get excited about that? Thinking in terms of, you know what, I know this life really sometimes is very tough. This life is difficult. It comes full of problems. But this life isn't all. Man, someday I get to inherit heaven. Amen. Eternity with God the Father, with Jesus the Son and His Spirit, with all the saints who have been faithful to God through all the years of God's creation. He says, that's our inheritance. That's what we get someday. That's why he says, hang on. Is it always easy here? No. But he says, I'm telling you, it is worth it, the riches that you will inherit. But the psalmist says children are that way. He says they're like an inheritance. They're a heritage to us. He says, do we understand this incredible gift that God has given us that is passed on? He says, the man who has a quiver full of them, he says, because children are like arrows. Doesn't that conjure up an image as well? Because that's what we're doing with our children. It's like a man taking a bow and putting one of those children on the bow, and that's what we're doing. We are launching our children into the future. What we give them today is where they land in the future. He's saying that's what we need to understand, that as we are trying to shape them, what we're doing is the next generation. That's real stewardship. Stewardship is conscientiousness of what I am doing with what I have here that looks forward to what it will provide for somebody later. Children are that way. He says, so it's very important what our children do, where our children go, who our children are. So I want you to turn with me to a passage that's probably intimately familiar to us in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I just want to make 3 points out of this passage where God talks about the nature of this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to start with me in verse 4. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words, which I command to you today, shall be in your heart. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I just want us to see three things out of there that I think are absolutely critical for us to understand as we think about our children going back to school this year or any year, and as we think about raising our children. And that is, first, instruction is imperative. Every single child is homeschooled. Every child. Some also attend public school. But every child is homeschooled. He says that's where the obligation is. He says that's where the responsibility is. It is to the parents to make sure that they are instructing and teaching their children. The biggest chunk of learning that they receive shouldn't come from school, though they spend endless hours, it seems like, there. We think things in terms of, does it ever scare you what your children are taught in school, public school? Does that ever scare you? Just nod your heads or anything. Public school scare you? Yeah. There are things taught in public school that we would just say are not the truth, some of it. Some of it taught as scientific fact that we believe not to be the truth. Even about beginnings of time. There are things that are taught to our children, whether we like it or not, that have a moral or maybe immoral basis that we would disagree with, that are taught at our schools. We understand that, those kinds of things. But here's what should concern us, I think. I'm not saying you should never be concerned about what's being taught at schools. Some of the values clarification and humanistic teaching that comes through school systems is just scary. But what ought to create more fear is if we think in terms of what is not taught at home. I think that's the basis that God would still say. Should we be afraid of some of the things being taught at school? We should, but we need to be doing, as parents and grandparents, everything within our power to instruct them in the Word of God. He says, diligently, make sure that they understand. Go through the Word of God. Teach them the things that they need to know. But then he starts with an idea that says what? He says, this message that you're going to teach them, it has to be in you. Has to be. If I'm going to teach my children or my grandchildren that loving the Lord is the most important thing in the world, then they need to not only hear that from me, they need to see that in me. If I'm going to teach them that prayer is important, they need to not only hear that from me, but see that in me. If I need to teach them or want to teach them about how they ought to treat other people and how they ought to be kind toward other people and loving toward other people, they need not only to hear that from me, they need to see that in me. And that's what he says. He says, these words have to be in your heart first. That's what he says. They have to be in your heart if you're going to teach them to your children. Because if not, what we teach our children is, in fact, religion. Or we teach our children rules and regulations. And I think God says, if all you're providing to your children is religion and rules and regulations, the result of that is more often than not rebellion. People turn against that methodology. And he's saying, but what we need to do is be sharing our faith with them. What they need to see is who we are and how we love the Lord our God. I loved one man's description of what it's like to try to pass off faith that you don't have. He says, here's what I want you to consider. Have you ever taken a correspondence course? Anybody here ever taken a correspondence course in anything, Bible or otherwise? How many of you would say, you know what? I saw that they're having a great correspondence course offered on swimming. I'm all over that. I'm not thinking that's going to work real well. It just doesn't seem like something to me that you teach by correspondence. You know what? Let me tell you what you did wrong last time, and I'm writing that down for you as you're floundering in the water. Somebody needs to show you that because they know how to do that. Isn't that the way you learn to swim? Somebody that knows how to swim teaches you to swim. He says that's the nature of faith. We need to instruct our children. We need to teach them the things that are true. It's not an idea of trying to teach out of them things that God put into them. Sometimes we try to shape all our children the same way, but I think it says take the child that God gave you and train that child. Train a child in the way that is right, God says. And they don't depart from it. That's not an absolute. We talked about that when we went through Proverbs. Those are proverbial statements, but they're basically true. He's saying train that child up. Make sure that you are instructing them. But he says it isn't just a matter of instruction, because I need to teach them the truth, and I need to teach them what's right. And I need to make sure that they understand that, so that hopefully with children, as they grow and they're in school, red flags ought to go up. Have you ever had anybody teaching you something and a red flag just shot up? You thought, that can't be right. Not based on what I know. That's what we want for our children. We want them to know the truth of God so well that when somebody says something, it at least sends up a red flag. He says, instruct them. But he says, don't just instruct them. He says, communication is absolutely critical. He says, you have to talk about these things. I mean, isn't that a wonderful picture of when he's saying, you know what, when you're at the table, talk about them. When you're out walking in the field, talk about them. When the kids are going to bed, talk about them. When the kids get up in the morning, talk about them. Not just instruct them, not just teach them. But he says, talk about them. What does that mean? Where's the application of these things in their lives? I think that's what he's saying. Here's the instruction. Here's what God says. Here's how that applies to you. Here's where you might see that at school. It is so important for us to make sure that not only do our children understand the do's and the don'ts, but we give them the reasons that God gives. And talk about that application and where it shows up in their lives. Why we don't want them doing certain things. Why God doesn't want them doing certain things. Helping them to see that. When you sit down to have that discussion about the things your child may face in school. We did that with our children when they went to high school. There are just things that I knew they were going to face in high school that they didn't face in middle school. And things that they faced in middle school that they didn't face in elementary school. And so you're trying to prepare and say, we've always told you this, but here's where you might see that this year. With our children, when they went to middle school, and the oldest one was in high school, we were in St. Louis, Missouri. Whole different set of preparation. They walked through metal detectors to get into the school. Why? Because so many guns and knives and things of that nature were being brought onto campus. We had to sit down and talk. How do you deal with those things? When you see violence, when you see bullying, when you see the things that are going on. For me in the 70s, somebody should have said, I'm going to tell you, everybody around you almost is going to be doing this, whether it's drugs or whether it's drinking or whatever, to better prepare you for things. I need to talk with my child. I need to listen to them. I need to understand that when they talk about things at school, you ever been in that position where as a parent you're sitting in a recliner and a child comes in and wants to say something or wants to do something and you're just exhausted and you say, a little bit later. I think he's saying communication is critical. You need every opportunity that your child will listen to you, you need to be talking. Every opportunity you have to listen to them, you need to be listening. He's saying you're talking about these things. Asking them, where do you see this in your school? Where do you see the application of this? What are you learning about this? Child comes home and tells you something. How do you feel about that? How do you think God would feel about that? We need to understand somebody's going to shape their minds. He says it is incumbent on parents first to do that. talk. Turn off the TV. Stop reading the book you're reading, whatever it may be. Communicate with your children. It is critical. Tell them the truth. And talk to God about your children. Sometimes we spend more time warning and correcting our children than we ever do talking to God about them. But talk to God about your children. Communicate with Him. Teach them to communicate with Him. Does it bother you that there's no prayer in public school anymore? See, and I would tell you once again, you know what concerns me more? It's not how little prayer there is in school. What scares me more is how little prayer there is in some homes. Christians need to be before the throne of God. He has the power to help. And I think he's just saying communication is the key. Judy and I will have been married next year. We'll celebrate our 40th anniversary. Can a marriage survive and thrive for 40 years if couples don't communicate with one another and share and talk? Isn't that what provides so much of that intimacy in a relationship? It's going to be the same with you and your children. It's going to be the same with you and God. Talk to them. Talk of His commandments. Talk to Him about how all that plays out. And encouragement is essential. One of the requests in particular that was made on behalf of one of the students that we'll be praying for this afternoon. Somebody made a special request of me and said they're concerned because the person doesn't get the kind of encouragement at home. They're made to feel that they're different, but not in a good way. They're made to feel that they're not going to fit in. I thought, how sad is that if that's coming from the home? You don't think you're going to get enough of that from junior high? Oh, you'll get plenty of that from junior high, because as we talked about, unless you're athletic, or unless you're particularly good looking, or unless you're the smartest, those are the only three areas in school that esteem are built on. We need to make sure that they understand how special they are. Taking the word of God. Which words of God? Well, I think the things that he tells us about and warns us about. But what about helping your child understand all the things that God says about how special we are to him, and how much we mean to him, how valuable we are to him, how we're created in his image? Wouldn't that be a great thing to bind as a frontlet between your eyes? That we are created in the image of God, and never lose sight of that, because that's special. Or Matthew chapter 10, where he says, look at the sparrows. He says, there's no such thing as a little tiny bird that falls to the ground that God doesn't see that. And he says, and you know why he tells you that? Because he says, you're more important than that bird ever was to God. God knows every hair on your head.
Amen.
That's what he says. Or in Romans chapter 8, you want to bind something before their eyes. Bind before their eyes how we're conquerors through God. And how if God is for us, nobody can be against us, he says in Romans 8:31. He says, we're victorious in this life if we want to be. Bind that. Put that on your doorpost. Hang that on your wall. Remind your children every single day that with God they can win the battle in this world. That's the encouragement they need. They need to go to school understanding how much they mean to their parents and how much they mean to God. Because I assure you, school will do enough to knock down the esteem of too many students. But God says, my esteem shouldn't be based on what I look like. I just gave you a few seconds because we could all say amen or thank God to that, right? It's not based on what I look like. It's not based on my athletic ability. It's not even based on my intelligence level. God loves me because I am His. Period. He says he wants me to know how much I mean to him because I am his. Yes. Encourage those children. Build them up. Let them know. Take the word of God and make sure they never forget it. Put those verses up in your house. Put them on the dashboard of your car. Send them in notes with your children in their lunch or whatever to school. constantly keep the Word of God in front of them so that they understand. The psalmist said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And he went on to talk about God seeing him when he was in his mother's womb. How special is that to let a child know? You know what? God didn't identify with you when you were born. God knew you before you were ever born. You mean something to him. Make sure that the children understand that. I like what one man said. He said, here's your goal as a parent. To be half as great as your 5-year-old thinks you are. And half as dumb as your 15-year-old thinks you are. I thought, that's a good goal. Somewhere in between those two, it probably worked out pretty well. It's a challenge, but he says, if the Lord's given you a quiver full of children, and I would tell you the same, if he's given you a quiver full of grandchildren and nieces and nephews, those are all heritage in the sense that we are sending them forward. He says, do everything you can to equip that child with the truth of God so that as you launch them from that bow, your spiritual heritage is strong in the generations to come. That's the only thing that will ensure that. We need to teach them, talk to them, and encourage them in the Word of God. We mentioned along that line, we've got a back-to-school prayer for our kids today. Already 56 separate names, 31 separate schools have been turned in from this congregation. We're going to meet at 4 o'clock. As Rob put it the other day, if you have children in school, if you ever were a child, if you want to have children, whatever category it is, we'd love you to be here today at 4 o'clock so that we can pray on behalf of these children who are in school and pray on behalf of their schools so that they may have a year that is productive for the Lord. 4 o'clock today, if you can be here for that, we would love as many as could possibly be here to come for that. If you're not a Christian, we pray and hope that if you don't already understand what God wants from you, that you'll continue to search that and examine that. And if we can help you search that and examine, let us know. If you've already done that and you know what he wants you to do, but haven't done it, we hope you'll take care of it. Make your life right with God. For those of us that are Christians, may we understand the preciousness of every moment, especially when it comes to the heritage of our children and grandchildren. If we can help you respond to God's call, let us know while we stand, while we sing.